God loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and his plan is good. And God's plan for your life involves you knowing his son, Jesus, and patterning your life after his in community with others. That's his design for you. I do believe that the local church is the hope of the world, that God works through the local church. And so today I want to talk to you about the state of the church. I hope that you received a copy of our annual report as you walked in this morning. If you did not, you can get a copy on your way out, but we're going to be working through that this morning in our time together. Before we do, though, I want to throw out a few reminders of kind of where we've been over the last year or so with events and that sort of thing. We have added a new staff member. Zach has come on board. I think he's done a phenomenal job with music this last year. Our youth ministry, student ministry, split into high school and middle school groups, and as a result of that, they've almost doubled in size, each of those groups. We've made significant headway with building renovations. I'm sure that you've noticed, maybe you haven't been up to our new office and conference space, but you're welcome to come check it out at any point. A new nursery space, new kids ministry classrooms, student ministry space has been renovated, and now we're working out in the lobby. We're going to work in the lobby and then make our way into the auditorium. And as the weather gets better, we're going to begin working on the outside of the building and the parking lot as well. We've got a ways to go, but I know that you've taken notice of things. What I want you to be aware of is we have been able to cash flow this entire thing, just pay cash as we've gone. It's been a huge blessing. We've not taken on any new debt at all. The building is being used more and more. It's my hope that we get to a point where the building can be used on a daily basis, every week, that this building gets used on a daily basis. We started this year with a series called Life to the Full. And again, it's based on one of my favorite verses from John chapter 10, where Jesus says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I don't know if you memorize scripture, but if you do or you don't, I encourage you to get this verse in your memory bank. Work on it over the next few weeks, the next few months. Make sure that you know this verse by heart. Part of Jesus' coming, a significant part in his coming, was to bring life. To bring life. Don't miss this. Christianity is not about making bad people good. Christianity, the cross, Jesus is about making dead people alive. That's what it's about. So if you don't have this verse memorized, I encourage you, get this one in mind. Last year, we started with a series on marriage. Then we moved into talking about the life of Joseph and principles that we can learn from his experiences. We had a World Mission Conference last year. We didn't have a Sunrise Easter service here last year because we were down at the stadium. We were invited to be a part of that. We moved into a series on the parables. Had a lot of fun with some play on words with that. I know it was corny at best, but still. I hope you remember Zach and Chris up here with Mavs hats on, and yeah, maybe not. Okay, that's all right. It wasn't a pair of bulls. It was parables. We moved into a series called One Life to Live, where we talked about the importance of healthy living and that we need to be the best me that I can be for God's glory, right? That if he is going to use me, if I'm going to be an instrument of his, there is a responsibility I have to maintain good health. After that, we had an At the Movies series, something new for me. So a lot of friends of mine are doing that every year and decided I'm going to experiment on that as well. We talked through the book of James and Colossians and Job. We had a week sermon on financial freedom where I challenged you, what does the next 7 years look like when it comes to debt in your life, in your family? And then finally, we had a Christmas series to wrap up the year. Erica, with our kids ministry, has done a great job having several family events over the last year. Any of you play the Candyland game last year? No? A few of you? All right. Well, keep an eye out because we're going to do that again this year, I believe, as well as the Amazing Race. Our family should have won, but there was a discrepancy. That's okay. She also started some monthly themed Sundays. And for a little while, we tried to adapt that into our adults as well, but it was a struggle for me. On PJs and Pop-Tarts Day, I thought, I don't think I can wear my PJs to church. That would not be good for anyone at all. Crazy Hair Day, Crazy Hat Day, Tie-Dye Day, those were struggles for me, but I didn't mind the days that we could wear flannel or other things. Those were good. We had a few picnic days in the park. We took more kids and students to camp than we've taken before. We started taking students to Christ in Youth Conference, a life-changing experience for teenagers. If you have teenagers, please find a way to make it possible for them to go to CIY and camp. Our women's ministry really has grown leaps and bounds this year. There are events every month, multiple events, where ladies can come together, whether it's over coffee or crafts or Bible study, and encourage one another. Women in the room, if you are not connected to our women's ministry, please seek out Leslie Crenshaw, Eric Walkes, Stephanie Gilmore, Lisa Chase. They will get you connected with the rest of the women and the events going on. Whatever age you are, find a way to be connected with our women's ministry here. Men were a little bit behind. However, we had a great men's breakfast yesterday morning. We had 25 men in the new youth space over there. It was a great opportunity to start building some community amongst our men. A couple of our small groups took on helping families and individuals in our community in very practical ways, which was encouraging to me. We want to see our small groups come alongside and do ministry through our small groups as we move forward. And lest we not forget Bethlehem Revisited. A few thousand people came through the building over 3 days in December. As we consider the state of the church today, I'm going to give you a lot of information, and I want to wrap it up a little bit later, but that was kind of redundant. As we go through this information together, I want to point out four healthy initiatives for you to consider this year. The first one is commitment. Commitment. It's been said that great commitment requires great sacrifice. Great commitment requires great sacrifice. I shared this verse with the FCA group this last Monday night, talking with some students. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then Jesus, he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." He's saying, die to themselves on a daily basis. Great commitment requires great sacrifice. Jesus says, take up your cross, die to yourself on a daily basis and follow me. When we talk about commitment and we talk about sacrifice regarding the church and life, I think there are three key areas that we want to challenge you in. Time, talent, and treasure. Your time, your talent, your treasure. Who you are, what you encompass, what you own. Are you using your time? Are you using your talent, your abilities, your experiences, your treasure? Are you using that for kingdom growth? Are you committed? The average church attender attends church one time a month, on average. Now, I stand up here most weeks, and I see your faces more than that, so I know that we're above average in that. But the average person attends church one time a month. Where are you at with serving? Are you serving? Are you giving? Are you investing? Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, the Sermon on the Mount, which we're going to, after our marriage series, we're going to move into a series on the Sermon on the Mount. He says in 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Is it invested in God's kingdom? So if you have this report with you, I want to work down through a few of the statistics or I guess pieces of data information on the front. When we're talking about commitment and attending church and being involved and investing, last year, 2018, we had 291 people average attendance each Sunday. That's 20% growth over 2017. We saw 50% growth in our 9 o'clock service alone. We had 124 people volunteering their time over the course of last year. That's a little under half of our the people that call Northeast home. 158 families gave to kingdom work here. The average was $1,689 per attendee in 2018. You can do the math. Just take that and multiply it by 291. That'll give you the total that was given in tithes and offerings. I'll break it down a little bit. The average in the country, average giving per person, is $27 per week. We average $32 per week per person. So we're $5 over. You can look at that a couple different ways. Some, I won't get into it now and just bore you. But what's encouraging to me is we don't even pass offering trays. As long as I can remember, and the history of Northeast that I've heard of before, is we have giving boxes out in the hall. They're in the wall, in the hallway. And so when you want, between you and God, you can put your tithes and offerings in there. My wife and I, we choose to give 10% of our income to Northeast Christian Church in the form of bill pay. So my bank sends a check to Northeast Christian Church the day after I get paid, two times a month, and that's what we do. I encourage you, find a way that works for you. You can give online, you can give with a check, you can give cash, you can do something automated. You can even give stock. if you wanted, to Northeast Christian Church. As far as being committed, we also sent 35 kids and 18 students to summer camp, and 16 students attended CIY conference. Our church pays half the cost of camp and CIY for those who call Northeast Christian Church home. We want to invest in young people. The second initiative I want to mention to you this morning is commission, specifically the Great Commission. The Great Commission is all about discipleship. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, last words that Jesus shares with his followers before he ascends to heaven to be with his Father. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." The command is to make disciples. How do you make disciples? Well, you go and you baptize them, you teach them, you grow them up, you make disciples. That's what the commission is. Now, a lot of people ask, well, how do I do that in everyday life? Well, if you are living out the life of a disciple of Jesus in your home, in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, as people interact with you, they're going to see that. They're going to experience that. That's the simplest way. And then as you build relationship with them, hopefully you have opportunity to have a conversation with them about the hope that you have in Jesus. A few numbers for you around the idea of the Great Commission. Over 210 people visited Northeast for the first time in 2018. I say more than because that's who we have a card from. They filled out a card. Some of you are in the room. You filled out a card, and so we can reach out to you. We know that you were here. So I will thank you, church, for sharing your story, for inviting people. Again, I mentioned last month, 85% of Americans will attend church upon an invitation. 85% of people who don't go to church, if you ask them, hey, why don't you join me for church? They will accept that invitation. Those are pretty good odds. 12 people were baptized here at Northeast last year, gave their life to Christ. Now, that's got to come up a little bit. We've got to be a little more intentional there. There were 14 baptisms in 2017, 10 in 2016. 105 people are connected in groups and Bible studies. And then along the way of finances towards the Great Commission, we gave away $44,122 to ministry partners and Change for a Dollar recipients to help spread the gospel message, to help encourage and let people know that we love them, that we care about them. The third initiative I want to mention to you today is commandment, specifically the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment is all about love. Jesus is kind of cornered in Mark chapter 12 and asked by some religious teachers, some experts. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 31. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important," one answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." We must be known for our love, that we love God, that we love other people. For several years, that's been our mission statement: love God, love people, make disciples. I'm going to share a new concept with you today along those same lines, however. John 13, 35, Jesus says this: By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus says, people will know you are my disciples as you love one another. That's a sign that they will know you are my disciples. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, words from Paul: if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We ought to be known for our love, for the peace between us. Change for a Dollar, I mentioned that already, but Change for a Dollar is all about love. That's all it is. It's about practical love. We gave away $7,600 last year. That's part of that giving away number that you see on your program. I confess to you, that's about half what we should have given based on attendance last year. But we do that wholly based on your personal references or on you letting us know, hey, I have this friend, this coworker, this schoolmate, this neighbor who's come by hard times. We do that by word of mouth. I will tell you, we have people come here to the church frequently. And I hope I can say this correctly. I hope you hear my heart. It is difficult to determine the validity and honesty of people that simply walk in the door in the middle of the week. We would much rather make those decisions based on your letting us know. Hey, I know this person from work. I know this person from my neighborhood. Can we help them? There have been very few of those situations that we have delayed or pushed back or said no to a couple. It didn't quite fit what we were trying to do with that purpose. So let us know, word of mouth, please help us out so we can get caught up on that. You might ask yourself, how do I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? How do I love my neighbor as myself? Well, Jesus says this in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. If you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, do what he says in his word. Keep his commands. John 21:17, this is from last week's message. The third time he, Jesus, said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Maybe it's inferred, but it seems to me if you want to love Jesus, feed his sheep. If you want to love Jesus, help other people. If you want to love Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. Find ways to be about serving other people. If you need a definition for love or practical love, read 1 Corinthians 13. It is full of definitions about love. The fourth initiative I want to mention to you today is collaboration. Collaboration. Great collaboration means we're all in this together. We collaborate. You can see the makeup of the word there. We are co-laborers. We're working together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I pulled out a few verses for this morning, between 12 and 27. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. Northeast Christian Church is a community of flawed people doing the best that we can, what we can, to love Jesus and follow Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But don't miss the fact we are flawed people. We are imperfect people. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sadly, but it's the reality, occasionally we're going to hurt one another. How do we find a way to forgive and move forward again, recognizing we are all parts of one body? Some days we're going to do better than others. Some days we're going to get up, it's going to be a good day. We're ready to go and fight the battle. Other days, maybe not so good. Maybe we feel weak. Whatever it is, we are all parts of one body. Every week we gather together as a church to, first of all, worship God, to hear his word preached, to study his word, to share in communion. Sometimes, regularly, we get to bear witness to someone making a public decision for Jesus in the place of baptism, correct? We get to enjoy that. We come together, we encourage one another. Friend, if you are alone, if you feel alone, you don't have to be. There is a body here made up of many parts, and we would love to come alongside you and encourage you. Be a part of something. Attend some of our events that are going on. Take the opportunity to meet other people, to reach out, to build community with others. Rick Warren says this. He said it for years. A great commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment make for a great church. That's a great statement about the church. I mean, it's inspirational and informative as to what the church ought to be about. We want to be a great church because we serve a great God. He's given us a great vision and a great mission to do great things for his glory, for our community. I love this church, and I love every single one of you here, and even those that aren't here this week. And as long as I'm here part of serving this church, I'm going to do my best to continue to challenge you and myself to grow in your commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. But in order to be successful, we've got to learn to collaborate as well. We've got to work together. So I want to challenge you to renew your enthusiasm in these areas. There is no better time than now to renew your commitment to the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, and recognize the importance for collaboration. That being said, if you have this with you, open up to the inside. We're going to read through this idea of mission statement, vision statement, beliefs, strategy, and values. We've been talking about this for a few years now. About 5 years ago, we quickly put something into place. Love God, love people, make disciples. We've been talking about being more more specific to our situation, to our community here, to our church body. And so since this last fall, we've been kind of finalizing the wording of a few things, and today I'm excited to share this with you for the first time. These statements, I hope you find confidence in this, these statements are commitment-filled, they are great commission-driven, they are great commandment-following, and they're going to require great collaboration to make it happen. Proverbs 29, verse 18, King James Version says this, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." There needs to be some vision. There needs to be some direction. There needs to be some clarity. It's been said, if you aim for nothing, you'll always hit it. So we want to make sure that we're aiming for something, that we're very specific in it. So that said, our mission at the top of the page on the left, to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything we do needs to be focused around leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's great commission-oriented. Our vision, to be a church that unchurched people love to connect with. Our vision as a church body is to be a group of people who people that are not connected to a group of people would love to be connected to. Does that make sense? We want to interact with one another. We want to be doing things. We want to be loving people in ways that they will want to connect with this body of believers, this church body. Our beliefs. Some of you are more familiar with these than others. If you attend our Starting Point class, you know that I run through these there. But for sake of clarity, we have five core belief headings here. First of all, about God. There is one God, eternally existing in three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. These three are co-equal, and each possesses all the attributes of God. God is the creator and sustainer of the universe and everything in it. About Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is our Savior, who was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on a cross for all sin, and was raised from the grave after 3 days to demonstrate his defeat of sin and death. He ascended into heaven and will return again to earth to reign as our powerful King. About the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Those who accept Christ as their Savior will receive the Holy Spirit to live inside them. The Holy Spirit serves as our comforter, guide, and advocate. The Holy Spirit is given to Christians and provides guidance in living, an understanding of the Bible, and prayerfully intercedes for them. About the Bible, our foundation is based firmly upon the Bible as our final authority on Christian beliefs and as the guide to living. The Bible is divinely inspired by God without error, given to man so that we may know and understand the truth of God and His love. About salvation, salvation is not something that can be purchased or earned. It is a free gift from God provided by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and is received through faith. It is available to everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. That faith is expressed through repentance of sin and baptism by immersion. Now, I know that this is somewhat general for some people. If you'd like a version that has verse references with every one of these points, I can give that to you later this week. But we want to be very, very specific about core beliefs. This is who we are. We will be united about these things. I want to move over to the next page, our strategy. Again, talking about if you aim at nothing, you'll always hit it. So we want to make sure we have a strategy about things. We want to create an atmosphere where people are encouraged and equipped to pursue an authentic relationship with God, community with followers of Christ, and influence with outsiders. Under that concept, we have three bullet points here, and I want to explain each one briefly. First of all, we want to target the man to reach the whole family. There's a great book out there written in 2011 called Why Men Hate Going to Church. And research from that book says that when the mother of the family is reached, 17% of the time, father and the kids come to church as well. And it's assumed come to a faith in Jesus, okay? When the father of the home is reached, 93% of the time, mother and the kids come along. Now listen, we have great women's ministry and great student ministry and children's ministry and great seniors ministry. But we want to make sure that we target the man, that the average man that walks in the door of this church or joins one of our gatherings or one of our events, that he feels welcome, that he feels challenged, that he feels convicted, that when he leaves here, he's got something to go do. Because men are doers. Okay, so that's why I talk about a takeaway every week. I'm letting you in on my secrets, okay? I want you men to go do something. I know there are many different situations. I recognize that. But I don't know a woman who loves a man who doesn't want her man in church. So we want to do our best to be strategic about this, okay? I hope we can resonate with that. Second, we want to connect with the next generation so the church always has a future. We must proactively work to invest in college students and high school students and junior high students and elementary students to ensure that the church has a future. You're familiar with the verse, raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We want to be intentional about that. Third, we want to reach our neighbors to change our community. The city mayor, the state governor, the president will not change our culture in positive ways. The only way that our culture can be changed is by the power of Jesus, the power of God, as we interact with him, and God uses us to reach one person, one neighborhood at a time. So we want you to get to know your neighbors. Get to know the people in your community. Use your influence, your love for God, to help grow his kingdom here. That does have the power to change community. That does have the power to change culture. Cultural values, next. And I've got some verses next to these, but for sake of time, we're not going to read all of those today. If you'd like a copy later, I can give that to you. First of all, we honor God and Christ Church with integrity. And when I say cultural values, I feel like I need to step back for a moment. We believe that these are powerful, godly, Bible-based core values, cultural values, that as we have a church body continue to grow, these are things that we feel are important, that we want to highlight, that we want to be about. So first of all, we honor God and Christ Church with integrity. We embrace worshiping God individually and together as a lifestyle, not simply once a week. Coming here Sunday morning and leaving here doesn't cut it. If we're going to continue to grow, if we're going to honor God, we have to be about worshiping God on a daily basis. We build unity in essentials. We uphold what we believe about God, his son Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, the authority of Scripture, and salvation. The message doesn't change. This is who we are. Take it or leave it. We build unity in essentials. We give up things we like for things we love even more. We're going to show some liberty and some grace, some freedom in non-essentials. We're going to choose to not argue or divide over them. We will actively contribute to the future of the church rather than passively consume that which we like. We can't just be consumers. We've got to be investors. We've got to be workers. We've got to be about growing God's kingdom. And to do that, we're going to have to let some things go that are important to us. I know that every one of us comes into this body, this gathering, with things that are important to us. While important, if they are not core essentials, we're going to have to choose, we better choose to not let those divide, to not let those become points of argument, argumentation between us. Next, we pursue healthy living. We make disciplined choices today, physical, intellectual, emotional, relational, financial, and spiritual. I know it's a mouthful, but in order to better live tomorrow. If we believe that God has a purpose for our lives, and there are some things within our control, we had better be about making decisions today, some things that are within our control, to better be used by God tomorrow. So we're going to pursue healthy living. Next, we invest in kids, students, and developing leaders. We believe in the future of the church. We're going to put our resources into its growth. That's why we pay for half of camp and half of CIY, and we invest heavily in our youth and children's ministry. We'll figure it out, whatever it takes, to reach people who don't know Jesus. There's a preacher of a big church in Oklahoma City that he says, we will do anything short of sinning to reach people for Jesus. Anything. It's all on the table for consideration. Anything short of sinning. So we want to figure it out, whatever it takes to reach people who don't know Jesus. We will problem solve, and we will choose to approach a situation or conversation with, well, we could do that if, rather than saying, oh, we can't do that. We've got to take risks and experiment with methods and programs and environments to reach people for Jesus. We strive for excellence. We will consistently bring our best, evaluate, and seek to improve. We do not settle for the status quo. If you turn over to the back, just a few more. We trust one another and believe the best. We give the benefit of the doubt to each other. We're on the same team. If we're going to be on the same team, we got to trust each other. I know this one is hard. And I know that the bigger the church gets, there may be people that we don't trust. Somehow, we've got to find a way in the big picture, the grand scheme of things, to give people the benefit of the doubt, to trust one another. If there's issues that need addressed, then we'll address those. But if we're going to work together on a team, we've got to trust one another. We are generous with who we are and what we have. We joyfully use the resources we have and the person we are. Money, time, stuff, talent, influence for kingdom work. It's all a gift from God. We are stewards. Everything we have, everything we are, it all comes from God. We are stewards, so let's use it for his kingdom. Finally, we have fun and laugh a lot, laugh together a lot. If you could join us, our staff, on a, well, every now and then, you would recognize we have fun together. We enjoy spending time together. We laugh together. We cut up together. I'll just leave it at that. You might ask, well, you get anything done? Of course we do. But we have a lot of fun doing it at the same time. And we feel like that needs to spread out to our church as well. If we are followers of Jesus, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, that ought to bring us joy. It ought to bring us hope. When people interact with us, we ought to bring them joy, bring them hope through the power of Jesus. At the bottom of the page there, just kind of a summary statement, we celebrate where God has taken us in 2018. We look forward to 2019 with great anticipation. We are especially grateful for your involvement at Northeast this year. We hope that this report has inspired you toward your next step with God. Now that being said, I can give you numbers and statistics and information, and I can talk about problems from the last year and great things from the last year, and I can talk about and I can dream about ideas for the future. But the church is you, and the church is me. The church is people. The church isn't just, you know, money and buildings. In fact, it's really not that at all, okay? There was a song when I was growing up, little kid, you know, do you remember it? Some of you, here is the church and here is the steeple and open the doors and there's all the people. I'm kind of butchering it. Learned at a very young age and haven't touched it since. But don't miss this. The church is us together. The church is other believers elsewhere. We are the church. The church is people. And so when I talk about the state of the church, I kind of want to ask the question, you know, how are you? And where are you? And what are you up to? What are you doing? What is the state of the church? I'm told there's a big game today. And I'm also told that I can't use the copyrighted, branded name of the big game today. I know that there are many fans of a wild horse that resides over in Denver that are disappointed today. I'm confident that there are many people in the room today that while we are all Americans and patriots at heart, many of us in the room are going to be cheering for a biblical animal today. I was asked 2 or 3 weeks ago, the day of the game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots. I think I can say that. I was asked that day, hey, who are you cheering for today? You're from Kansas. You're probably a Chiefs fan, right? And I just said, do you remember when you were a kid and there was like the spoiled rich kid that, you know, their team was always stacked and they always won and you never wished them any ill harm. Never, no. But you privately delighted when they got beat fair and square. That's kind of where I was at. And that's probably where I'm at today. So I'll just let you interpret that however you want. But many of us are probably going to be watching the game from the comfort of our recliner or couch today, I'd guess. I doubt anyone is going to the game. You won't make it in time. But can you imagine being there? Can you imagine being on the field? Can you imagine being in the game, in the midst of the excitement? I mean, It's so much more fun to be in the game. So much more fun to be in the midst of the excitement, what's going on. So where are you at? What are you up to? What are you doing? How are you doing? Here's the takeaway this week. I want to challenge you in this way, and this is kind of a summary of this last month. I want to challenge you to these four areas this year. First of all, the weekly worship. I know where I live. We live in Western Colorado, and we love to travel, especially when the weather's good. So find a place to worship when you're not here, but make a point this year to be a part of weekly worship. Second, monthly serving. Find an area to serve. If you aren't serving yet, find an area to serve on a monthly basis. Join a small group or a Bible study. You will grow faster. You will grow deeper in community with other people beyond what we do here on Sunday morning. Finally, actively investing by inviting and giving. That you would make a point this year, hey, if 85% of people will accept an invitation, those odds are pretty good. That's a pretty strong investment. I ought to be about that. Find a way to be about investing monetarily, financially, with what God has given you into his kingdom here at Northeast. If Northeast is your church home, if this is where you've planted yourself, if this is where you're raising your kids or where you're building your community, then I hope you're doing something about it to continue to grow it, move it forward. Let's pray.